and Ortiz, Tag Team Dynamite, and the legendary Conan. Santana and Ortiz, I'd like to start it out with you guys. And before we go with the traditional wrestling questions, I'd like both of you to address the situation with Hurricane Marie down in Puerto Rico.
Oh, man. As everybody knows, our people is going through it right now. You know, I have tons of, we both have a lot of family on the island, and they're all being impacted by this crazy-ass storm. And, you know, we're just hoping that everyone pulls through and everybody needs to look out for each other, especially after the storm, because, you know, that's when the trouble really starts.
Indeed, I couldn't say it any better. Like, my prayers go out to my family and friends that are out there. It's a rough situation.
Conan, I'd like to, if you would, I'd like you to address the situation down in Mexico.
Same thing, national disaster, bro. And, you know, when you live in Mexico and you live in Puerto Rico or Florida or wherever you're at, you know that can happen. So it's tragic to see that they still, after the incredible earthquake of 85, so many people that died and so many structures that fell, that so many foundations in 2017 are falling because, you know, they weren't inspected correctly, didn't pass the building code or zoning laws. And so not only that, for those of you that don't know, Mexico City is basically built upon a lake bed because of some vision that some Indians saw back in the day. But so it's not exactly on the best foundation either. So another tragedy, my heart goes out to Mexico. That's where I started. And, you know, just like the Puerto Ricans, they're going to rally. They're getting international corporation, and they're going to be up and running real soon.
Conan, if you would, one other thing, current events I'd like you to address, please. You certainly spent a lot of time in WCW around Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Right. Yeah, Bobby, bro, you know, I was already a Bobby Heenan fan because me, always growing up, I always liked the guys that could talk, even if they couldn't wrestle. So, you know, I was always really big into, like, Bobby Heenan because I just thought that anybody that he was with, he enhanced. And even when he had a great talker, and I don't know how many people remember Nick Bockwinkel, but Nick Bockwinkel was a great talker. And yep. And so him and Heenan together were just incredible magic, and his wit was incredible. I used to remember I was watching some old tapes of him with Gorilla Monsoon. If you guys have never seen it, you should. It's back like in the 80s and shit, and they had like a show on WWE, and where they would cut the matches. And during the show, Bobby would be on the phone talking, and Gorilla was trying to always get him, you know, to quit talking on the air. Half the time he was trying to get him fired. And it was really funny, you know, just the chemistry they had. They were just so ahead of their time, bro. And Bobby took...
Was that their talk show that they had?
Yeah, it was kind of like a talk... Huh?
Yeah, it was kind of like this talk show that they would sit at the table, and sometimes Ventura would be there.
Right, right. Then they had another show where they would bring in, remember the three fat ladies, the Rosati sisters? I don't even know if you guys remember them.
Yeah.
And he would just roast them on the air, bro, when you didn't have to be politically correct. So it was hilarious. Check some of that stuff out, and you'll see the genius of Bobby the Brain. It was sad for me because I ran into him at a, what's his thing, some wrestling convention, and he was there, and he had, like, some sort of, like, maybe jaw or throat cancer, and he just had his mouth, like, open, and, you know, he's trying to talk, and his wife was actually kind of, like, translating, and I was just like, man, he's here because he needs to feel the love of the people and the support. He would get so happy when anybody would remind him about something. Just a great, great human being, great guy, incredible entertainer, man. We did lose a big one there.
All righty. Well, as everybody knows, we announced this week that Bound for Glory will be on Sunday, November 5th in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, at the Aberdeen Pavilion. Tickets will go on sale shortly, and check out impactwrestling.com and our social media platforms early next week. We will have full ticket information. Let me ask you three guys, your thoughts about the got to be excited to be going to Ottawa.
I mean, it should be amazing. Ortiz and I have wrestled in Ottawa plenty of times, and it's an amazing city, and the people there are great. So I'm sure having Balfour there is definitely going to be something pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, especially in the capacity that we're doing it. It's going to be a big, big show. So, yeah, we're excited, and we're excited to show the Canadian fans what it's all about.
Yeah.
You know that? Go ahead.
Yeah, Ottawa has been one of our favorite places to work. And, like, again, the fans there are so appreciative of everything that you do, and it's definitely a good time, and everyone there likes to have fun. And one thing that's great is that the fans in Ottawa are very vocal. So, look forward to that.
Yo, well, since you guys went to Ottawa, you're gonna have to show me what the nightlife is all about, because I certainly showed you what Tijuana nightlife's all about. Boom. But let me tell you about Ottawa. Bro, that thing kind of freaked me out, because I was like, Canada, really? I like that. I like that it came out of nowhere. It's a Canadian company. Want to do it in Canada. Much love to the Canadian fans. You know, they're always one of the most hardcore fans. And so, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, man, that we're getting out of the impact zone and traveling and other people can see us. So I thought that was a great decision.
Conan, any chance you're going to be skating with the Ottawa Senators?
No, I am not a good ice skater.
Okay. Well, we'll open up for questions. All I ask, again, as we've asked in the past, please identify yourself and your media outlet. Please, one question only, and do not get back in queue until we give you the heads up on that so we can get questions from everybody. We have a lot of media from around the world on this call.
Q&A session has started. To ask your question, please press star 6.
Ryan Ryder live on Main Event Radio. Conan and LAX, I'm wondering, are any new members in the cards to be joining your group?
We're always looking for new members, and especially, you know, we just lost Low Key, who is such a unique and incredible character. We're definitely on the lookout for somebody, and so definitely yes.
Very excited to have GFW Impact Bound for Glory coming to Canada.
Sweet, man. You going to be there?
Of course. I'll be there, brother.
All right, man. We'll check you out over there.
What are else?
Excuse me?
This is Big Ray from OneWrestling.com. Thank you, gentlemen, for allowing us to join you here today. How are you all?
Good. Thank you.
Yeah.
My question actually is for Santana, particularly. Santana, I'm Puerto Rican from the Lower East Side of Manhattan. I'm actually from the Ave. Born and raised near Avenue D. Yes, sir. I've known this for quite some time, and I've been looking forward to talking to you about this. And I wanted to know, you know, I know the neighborhood. I'm very familiar with the neighborhood, so on and so forth. So how is it that a kid from the Lower East Side gets to where you are right now?
I mean, as you know, being from the neighborhood and knowing the struggle and knowing what, you know, how the neighborhood is, it's not easy for anybody. But when you dead set on something, and, you know, wrestling has been something that's always been a part of my life since I was very young. So, it's just beating adversity, you know what I mean? My thing was always refusing to be one of those statistics, you feel me? So, and not saying that we all go through life and we all experience different things, but I stood on the path, you know what I mean? I did what I did, and you know, of course, everybody's young. You get into stupid trouble and all this crap, but for the most part, it's just staying strong and keeping to your goals, you feel me? Like, just, you know the neighborhood. You know how it is out there, so.
Hi, it's Adam from the KOTM podcast. Good evening, gents. It's a question for Conan specifically, if I can. I've noticed that since LAX have come back on the scene at Impact Wrestling, there's the kind of language and the storylines that you've been involved in have been quite provocative, especially some of the language, some of the backstage scenes then in Tijuana this week. Is that something that you've pushed for to reintroduce into programming, and do you think that's what wrestling needs today?
Yeah, bro, I'm a provocateur, so I'm there to, you know, I'm there to engage you. So I'm there to get you mad. I'm there to make you think. I'm there to make you go, you know, I don't like to do normal wrestling promos. I'm going to retire you. You know, I'm going to do this. All the BS, that's just, it's kind of hokey and it's corny. So I'm just trying to get a reaction, bro. I'm just trying to get heat. That's what I do it for. I'm not a big fan of the awkward silence between calls, but go ahead. Yeah.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Steph from Future Magazine. Nice to talk to you guys. I wanted to ask you about the crash. Currently, the GFW Impact is working with AAA, Pro Wrestling NOAH, and the Federation. Do you think that an association or a partnership, excuse me, with between GFW and Crash can be possible?
Oh, yes.
Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you. 100%. That's already been put into motion. Our last TV taping, they taped about three matches. One of them OVE with LAX and two other teams from Tijuana, and it's already been shown highlights on Pop TV. And so, yeah, there's definitely a cross-pollination between us and GFW, and we'll continue to do so in the future.
Hi, this is Jeremy Walker from Real Sport. General question for all of you. What do you think sets this incarnation of LAX apart from the previous one?
Oh, well, obviously that it's got different members in it. You know, it's got different members in it, and the rhetoric is the same, you know, and the message is the same. And I think the attitude is the same. And plus, you know, now we have a female in the group. So it's two whole different feelings and personalities, but centered under the same concept.
Yeah, 100%. We try to keep true to the where LAX was before, but we have a new spice to it, pretty much. We're keeping up with the times, and we wrestle the style of today's age. But we're still violent, and we still go in. We like that Lucha Strong style kind of thing that we have going on.
Hey, guys, this is Graham Matthews from PennerMode.com. Conan, this one's for you. Is there anything you can add to the rumors from a few weeks ago, Rey Mysterio potentially coming to GFW Impact Wrestling, your involvement in the process, and if there's still a chance we can see Rey Mysterio in Impact Wrestling down the road?
Yeah, I was definitely very heavily involved in it because I represent him. But we were talking. Talks broke down, and we're trying to repair those talks. And hopefully, you know, in the future, Rey may come to GFW. But that was something that definitely was in the works.
Hey guys, it's Kyle Stevens from StillRealToUs.com. Conan, this question is specifically for you.
Right.
I know that you are one of the most outspoken personalities in the industry. You don't really hold back from telling your story, which I really respect. Why do you feel more people in the wrestling industry don't state their mind when push comes to shove?
Well, I can't believe that in the wrestling community you don't know that you get heat if you speak your mind, and it even happens, you know, on some, you know, major league baseball, football teams also. But in wrestling, you know, they have all these instruments, whether it's fear, intimidation, not getting a push. You know, they send you messages not to speak what you think. That's always got me in a lot of hot water. But that's the reason, because you're going to get heat.
Hey, Conan, Jim Barcelone here, Miami Herald. How you doing?
Yo, what it do, my boy Jim? You went for life. Boom.
Always good to talk to you, man. All right, so women's right. You mentioned women in the LAX, Diamante. And have you seen women in wrestling change over the years to what it's become today and just how things are elevating today for women? How good can it get?
Oh, man, 1,000%, because I grew up on the Japanese wrestling, if you remember, like, you know, Manami Toyota and Hokuto and Aja Kong and all those incredibly physical, talented Japanese women. Then you had in Mexico, you had a lot of great, great workers, starting with Lola Gonzalez. And then you would come to the United States, and they were so brutal, you know. And now, finally, there is like a women's revolution where they're going out there and they're having some great matches, you know. And you can even have a match, intergender matches, and people get into it, you know. Yeah, they've done a great job. You know, they're just going to get better and better. The one thing I haven't seen from women's wrestling yet is the high flyers. Imagine when the women start flying high, because they're gonna come out. They're gonna break out some real cool shit, because they're a lot lighter and they're a lot shorter. So they're gonna break out some really cool stuff. So I can't wait till that part comes.
Hey, guys, Ryan Bowman from TheGorillaPosition.com. This question's for Ortiz and Santana. LAX has been around in different carnations in the past, and it's always centered around the legendary Conan. You guys are the new generation of the group. What are your plans to take LAX to the next level?
Well, continuing the level of physicality and everything that we're doing, you know, we're still keeping and staying true to the tradition of what Conan had coming before. And our plan is just to keep keeping up with the times and revolutionizing it and making it 1,000% better, you know.
Yeah, we just want to up the ante, just be innovative and do it in such a way that we're still staying true to ourselves.
Hey, Tim here from GF The Talk from Germany. And Global Force is on TV in Germany right now on Run That Ends Fighting. And I know Santana and Ortiz are coming to Germany to the World Tag Team League. Are you looking forward to this, or have you any connection to Germany?
Oh, man, we're definitely looking forward to it. It's our first time coming to Germany and for such a prestigious tag team tournament and representing the U.S. and, you know, not even just that, but representing ourselves in this tournament, along with, you know, you got guys like the Briscoes, you got Homicide and Loki, you have, you know, David Starr, and so many talented guys that are part of this tournament. So coming over is definitely going to be something special to us.
Yeah, plus it's Oktoberfest, so I'm looking to go get a little bit trashed. It'll be fun.
Plus they dig German guys. Nothing.
Hi, this is a question for Santana and Ortiz. It's Adam from the KATM podcast again. Obviously, Conan is quite an outspoken figure. Do you guys talk about how you're going to try and develop your personalities on screen with Conan obviously taking front stage?
Well, yeah, 100%. I mean, you know, we had some flavor to us already, and having Conan coach us through things and teach us the ways that, you know, his vision and how he sees things, you know what I mean? And also being able to learn from him, he's one of the greatest minds in the history of wrestling. So, I mean, what else can you say?
Hi, this is Raj with Wrestling Inc. My question is for Conan. I wanted to get your thoughts on Alberto El Patron returning at Bound for Glory. And do you see your feud with Alberto resuming when he returns?
They've spoken to me about a couple of things with Alberto, but I don't even think they're sure what they want to do. You know, Alberto is a straight-up brother. I'm telling you this. He is a one-of-a-kind entertainer. You know, and he goes out there and he leaves it all in the ring. So I would love for them, you know, for us to do something with ADR, but, you know, that's definitely up to creative.
Hi, guys. It's James Marston from Across the Pond Wrestling here. Firstly, I just wanted to say I'm looking forward to seeing Ortiz and Santana over in Germany in a couple of weeks. And my question was, to anyone who wants it, really, what do you consider your worst experience as a professional wrestler, and why?
You guys go ahead.
I would say worst experience, I just say the long car rides. Those are the worst, because I think that takes a toll on your body more than the actual wrestling. Like, if you think about it, you're wrestling maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes, if that, and then you have to get in a car for 12 hours, like driving back from Ottawa, Canada. It's a little rough. So I would say the long car rides, because Santana always goes to sleep. So, you know, I'm not
What a bum. Also, honestly, we haven't come across anything too crazy. I mean, we've kept it cool. We like to consider ourselves the two chill dudes that, you know, a lot of the time we keep to ourselves and you know, we're cool with everyone. And yeah, so we haven't really experienced nothing too crazy that, you know, would set us off in any way.
Yeah, he would say the car rides, but he's sleeping half the time. So.
Conan, you want to chime in on that?
Oh, bro, I've had so many, but I don't know. My last time at TNA wasn't a lot of fun. My last time in AAA wasn't a lot of fun either. I'm not an easy person to work with either. You know, I understand that. But at the end of the day, I'll only play the game so long. That's why I started my own promotion, because the day that I have to work for somebody that's inept or micromanaging me, which has happened when they know less than me, hey, I'm willing to listen if you know what you're talking about or you know more than me, but if you don't, move out of the way because I got shit to do. So that's why I started my own promotion, because the day that I want to, I have somewhere to go, because in this business, when you have no options, it's when you're the most vulnerable, and people are only going to be loyal to you as long as it's convenient. So you better have a backup plan in case something happens, and I do. Right now I'm happy, you know what I'm saying? So everything's chill.
Yeah, today this is Chris Featherstone from WrestleZone.com and Pancakes the Power Sim. So how y'all doing today?
Hey, what's up?
What up?
This match for Conan. You speaking of AAA as far as just your negotiation, just your status with them. Speaking of status, we saw Low Key as part of LAX for a few weeks. That didn't really pan out to be to last too long. You were talking about frustrations and working with people as well. Did he ever have discussions with you as far as his frustrations of working at, for TFW?
Low Key?
Low Key, yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, Low Key's a lot like me in that he's very difficult to work with too, very opinionated. He thinks that the last three times he was there, they didn't use him to his maximum potential. I would concur with that. And at the end of the day, you know, Key was hot about a lot of stuff. One of them, which I would concur again, was why did you bring him to New York in his hometown to lose against Drago? Now, Drago, no shade. You know, I got no problem with the AAA wrestlers. You know, I'm not hating, I'm just stating, but why was he doing a job to Drago in his hometown who is not under contract and wasn't at the next TV tapings? That type of stuff will get you hot, you know what I'm saying? So I think they dropped the ball there, and creatively they said they didn't have anything for him, which I found very hard to believe. But, you know, like I said, he's a very strong-headed person, and, you know, hopefully we can work with him again one day.
Hey, this is Aro Palkar from SportsKira.com. And my question is towards Ortiz and Santana. So how does it feel to work under an esteemed veteran like Conan?
It's been an amazing experience so far. I mean, again, he has one of the greatest minds of wrestling, and to be able to sit and on a personal level and speak with him and have him teach us and learn so many different things, it's definitely truly special. And again, being under the LEX banner and shit like that, you know, guys like Conan who are, you know, who he is, they, you know, a guy like him wouldn't just put his name on anyone. He wouldn't just whatever. So it's definitely something truly special to us.
100%. And it's just we couldn't be in a better situation. We're super fortunate. We were guys that were fairly unknown and came into the TV, and it was literally sink or swim, and luckily we swam. And that's kudos to Conan and Homicide, just kind of like guiding us and giving us the pieces of the puzzle to put it together the right way. So, yeah, it's been awesome.
It's Jim Barcelone again. Conan, with things that are going on and rumors, which finally got squashed about Anthem, and then I guess things going on with Jeff Jarrett, just how do you deal with all that? You've been around a long time and all, but when you hear, like, latest things going on like that, what is going through your mind?
That's always going to happen, bro. You know, like in sports teams, they change general managers and, you know, coaches all the time, and it happens in wrestling too when a booker gets fired or he leaves or gets a better offer or whatever the situation is. I'm kind of excited to see what the new regime has in store for us, because even though they worked with Jeff, you know, they have their own ideas. So let's see what they got, you know, and so I'm kind of very happy to see some new people get a crack at it and see what they got going. They got some smart people in there, you know, my boy Jeremy Borash, Abyss, you know, and so Sanjay's in there. So I want to see what they come up with. It's going to be cool.
Hi, Conan. This is Rory from Team Venom Media. We've seen a tremendous amount of changes to Global Force and Impact this year, including many talent coming and going. What brought you and the new version of LAX back to Impact, and what are your goals going forward?
Well, basically what it was is Jeff Jarrett had reached out to me, and they wanted me to do some other gimmick. They wanted me to be the mouthpiece for another wrestler. And at first, I didn't think he needed a mouthpiece. And number two, in the back of my mind, I didn't like how my tenure ended with LAX, because they were sticking people in there. I would have never stuck in there when I left. They changed my whole entrance song. It was all whack. And I was like, I can't believe. So I wanted to come back and kind of leave on a better note, you know, because this is probably, for all intentional purposes, my last run in the United States. Who knows, unless something else comes up, but this is probably it. And so I wanted to go out, you know, on a higher note than I did last time, where I just quit and left. And so, you know, we brought in Ortiz, Santana, Diamante, Homicide, and we're like family, you know. You got to have a certain chemistry for this to work. You just can't be two guys that come to work. And, you know, like we, on a social level, you know, Ortiz and Santana, you know, they were friends, so they already had a chemistry. And so now, you know, Diamante and Homicide, all of us, you know, we'll hang out like after the show, and there's a certain bonding there that translates into the ring and in the promos. So, you know, we're just trying to make a name for these two guys and keep the LAX thing going, and let's see what happens.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right.
We'll open it up. If you guys have a second question, feel free to get back in the queue.
Hey, gentlemen, it's Big Ray from OneWrestling.com again. My question is to anyone who can actually answer the question. Possibly I'll direct it towards Conan. You have one of the more dominant figures in, I guess, Impact Wrestling history in Homicide on your squad. So my question to you is, how come, and again, I'm a huge fan of Homicide, always been a fan of his in-ring work. I've spoken to Sean Hernandez a few times. I've never been able to get a really straight answer regarding why is Homicide not in the ring on a regular basis? How come he's not, let's say, going for an X Division title or even the world title at this point in juncture?
Yeah, man, that's a mystery to me too. You know what I'm saying? I mean, at the beginning, they just had him there kind of like a cheerleader type thing. And I was like, bro, this guy can bring so much more. So I really, that's not a question I could really answer. I know it's frustrated him. It's very frustrating to just be there and not being able to go. So I don't, you know, I couldn't even tell you on that one.
Hey, Arup Alkar again from SportsKira.com. My question is to Conan, and my question is that since you have like 30 plus years of experience now in pro wrestling now, so how much input do you have creatively as far as storylines and promos for LAX goes?
You know, pretty much whatever we want to do, they'll listen. And we've ran into a couple, because I like to push the envelope. We've ran into a couple of speed bumps here and there. You can't say this, you can't do that. But I kind of have a feeling we're going to be able to push it a little bit more with the new regime. And that's what I like to do, you know, just do something that hasn't been seen in a while or that nobody else is doing. So you can stand apart. And you know what I'm saying? So, they do listen to us creatively.
Hi, this is Raj Giri with WrestlingInc.com again. Conan, there were some rumors earlier about Rey Mysterio's negotiations with certain companies possibly being affected because of past heat over the Max Moon character. Is there any truth to that? And what exactly happened with the whole Max Moon costume and that whole situation?
Bro, the Max Moon thing is very easy. You know, when I had met Vince McMahon, I told him about this idea I saw in Japan for like this animated robot. And so he was like, all right, we'll do it. And we did. But I lived in Mexico at the time, and the guy that was making the robot outfit lived in LA. So I would have to fly from Mexico to LA, pick up all these boxes and then bring them all the way to, like, sometimes I'd be in Cape Cod, and then they'd have to put it in a taxi. And it was just a pain in the ass, really. And so what happened was at that time I started to blow up in Mexico. I had done this soap opera and this rap record, and it was doing good. So, you know, I had back, you know, I had crossed over into the mainstream, and I was a big draw as a wrestler. I mean, I was getting paid, bro. And so when I went to TV, I was like, you know, bro, I'm the man in Mexico. Why am I coming to WWE? And so I just stopped going. And so basically Paul Diamond, you know, told Vince that he could fit into the outfit, and he could, so they gave him the persona. And from then, supposedly I had this incredible heat, but when I've seen Vince backstage, he's like, yo, you know, hey, what's up, Conan, and Stephanie, everybody. When they don't want you there, bro, they let you know, you know. And I know they've even stopped people from actually being in the dressing room. They've never done that to me. So I'm not sure if that heat is still there or what the deal is, but that's the story.
Stephanie from Stitcher Magazine again. I wanted to ask Conan. So you've been in business for 30 years. You talk about Bobby Heenan. And I wanted to ask you, is there a special moment, something, or a special people, someone you want to talk about with us, something you great to remember, people that was important for you in this business? And thank you again.
Yeah, there's too many to mention, way, way, way too many, you know, from the great, crazy, this guy missed a lot. Because he was a lot like me in that he said whatever he wanted to, which was Brian Pillman, you know. So, you know, Chris Benoit, and, of course, you know, my boy Eddie. And I knew when he was young, and he was training in his backyard, and I was teaching him how to do weights. I knew back then he was going to be incredible. I never knew he'd be this incredible. Because when he was in Mexico, he was very shy. He was introverted. I never thought that personality that came out in WWE, I knew it was there, but I'd never seen it on the screen, so it was just great when he took it to the next level. One, probably my favorite scene of all time in wrestling is when him and Benoit won the belts and they were hugging in the middle. And I was like, wow, man, finally, you know, these guys got rewarded because I know what they went through. But Eddie, especially, somebody's very hard for me still to this day. Very special guy, very special guy.